So we began, therefore, with the notion of justifying particularity in an American context. And the way this quintessential American Jewish theologian does it is to take the theories of anthropology, as we said, to discount the abnormal supernatural theories of Jewish chosenness, and in their place, to suggest that it is natural, and therefore it is normal, and therefore it is desirable to be Jewish in the way we have described. Judaism as a civilization, therefore, has meaning, has significance, has relevance for contemporary American Jews who are one generation away from the ship, who have landed here, who are feeling their way around American culture. You can be American, you can be Jewish, you can fit in. You recall Louis Brandeis and his struggling to define what American Zionism was. Brandeis and Kaplan were of the same kin. They were of the same spirit in trying to demonstrate that what Judaism had to offer was synonymous, was consonant with the best of American values. Now, having talked about particularity, let us address the second issue that Kaplan addresses. For a Jew who believes in Judaism, he must have some notion of God. How do we construct a faith in God which is clearly not supernatural? If Kaplan is to be consistent, which he is perfectly consistent here, it is no longer possible to believe in the God of the Bible. It is also not possible for him, being the rationalist that he is, to believe in a kind of Buber understanding, a Buberian understanding of God. That is, a God who we experience by encountering in a relationship. That to him is too emotive, it does not describe a rational notion. We are still in the level, we are still in the range of rational theology, trying to explain things through the mind. This will be, of course, of a different kind of rationality than the rationality of a Hermann Cohn or of an Abraham Geiger or of a Moses Mendelssohn. We are now speaking about a rationality based upon science, upon empiricism. We are speaking about a pragmatic model of American science within the context of the 20s and 30s. But nevertheless, we are still on the same plane, on the same playing field, in looking for a definition of God which can be explained as a construct of mind as opposed to a feeling, an emotion which comes from the heart. Kaplan seeks, as he did in the case of Jewish particularity, for a scientific basis for belief in God which would not offend modern sensibilities. And here is one of the many definitions that that Kaplan defines with respect to God, uses with respect to God. God is the sum of all those factors and relationships in the universe that make for unity, creativity, and worthwhileness in human life. I don't know what that means to you. Let me say it again. The sum of all those factors and relationships in the universe that make for unity, creativity, and worthwhileness in human life. In other words, Kaplan's God is not supernatural. He doesn't perform miracles. He's not above something of our own human experience. He is not outside nature. He is, nor is he identifiable with the mere strivings of human beings to do the right thing. It is not, God is not to be identified with the human conscience alone. God is neither supernatural, but nevertheless, God is more than human intention. God is more than being a human construction of the mind. God is the sum total of those forces which are constructive, which work towards good. But these forces include not only human striving and human achievement and human aspiration, they include constructive forces that we find in biology, for example, in the scientific world. Kaplan spends a lot of time talking about the analogies between the scientific natural world and the human world. There are constructive forces, there are destructive forces. The constructive forces, in their totality, including human strivings to be good, are to be defined as God. God, therefore, is a process. The notion of God, if you are listening to this and say, well, what does this mean? I will admit, it is clearly ambiguous. He is writing both as a theist and as a humanist. In other words, God is more than humanist strivings, as I said. But what exactly is he? He's not the supernatural God of the Bible. The living God of Israel, that is the God that we hear about in the Bible and rabbinic writings and medieval writings, is now reduced to a name given to the sum total of all the processes which make for human welfare. Another definition of Mordechai Kaplan. Question you're going to ask yourself is the following. When I go to synagogue or church or synagogue or mosque, who am I praying to? The sum total of all the forces which make for human welfare?